it's Lori Lastrom, and you are listening to the Minnesota Music Shakedown.
Welcome to episode number 41 of the Minnesota Music Shakedown, a podcast dedicated to spinning some of the best original Twin Cities and beyond area music. Featured this week is a conversation and new music from Lori Lastrom. I'm your host, Mark Sterry. Check me out at marksterrymusic.com, and thank you for supporting live and local music. Lastrom, welcome to the Minnesota Music Shakedown. How's it going today there, Lori?
It's going really good.
Where are you zooming in from today?
I am from Stillwater, just in my studio here, or my music room that I call it. So we can jam down here, or I can do some pre-work before I go into a studio.
Nice. So. Do you play a lot of gigs in Stillwater?
I don't do a lot in Stillwater. I find that there, I have something booked here at the Laura over the summer on their little outdoor patio thing. But for the most part, they're cover oriented. So most of the places tend to focus on covers and a lot of 70s, 80s, 90s cover bands. So, you know, you have places, you know, like Ziggy's and Petey Pappy's and stuff. And you mostly get a lot of cover bands. I don't know how else to put it. And I do like 50-50 when I, like, you know, I know you and I both play up at Balsam Lake Brewery and Market. And so, I mean, when I do shows like that, I'm doing like 50-50, or I'm going to be at 45th Parallel tomorrow night. And so I tend to do covers, and I tend to do most of my original stuff, so that I love.
What stuff are you covering at shows?
Oh boy. So some people's favorites are I do a good cover of Jolene. I do a little bit of a lot of different things. So I may pick something from there. I think I have some Juice Newton that I like to cover, Angel of the Morning. And then I, you know, do some Sarah Bareilles or Kobe Calais, you know, and so I kind of do a variety. I have some 80s stuff that I do. Like I do a really fun cover of a George Michael's Faith. And so I kind of mix it up. I don't really like try to tie myself to any one genre or time period. And so I just throw in the things that I love to do and the things that I feel I can make my own. I just recently picked up a Brandi Clark song. I had never heard of her before because I haven't listened to country in the last 10 years. But
don't blame you.
But I sat and listened to this song that she wrote that was that actually had it's a really cool, it was singer-songwriter more style than her old, you know, her country stuff. But then I turned around and I started listening to a lot of her music, and she's got some great lyrics. And so there's some stuff that I wouldn't mind covering. So I'll take a country song that maybe I wouldn't necessarily do totally country, and I would do it my way. And just the same way I did with hers. I just feel it, you know, I listen to a song a few times and then I go and then I just sing it. You know, some of the songs are more ingrained in me because they're from when I was growing up or, you know, things like that, or I heard a lot over time. So I don't know. So that's what I kind of cover. And then I do mostly my original stuff, and I have quite the breadth of songs in that. So.
Very cool. Are you from Roseville?
Yes, I am. I grew up in Roseville over by Old Mexico. Now that's no longer there.
It's no longer there, but yeah. So this podcast is sponsored by the B-Dale Club. This is my favorite bar of all time.
And I haven't ever been there. And what? I like, keep saying that you're there. No, I haven't. I moved away from Roseville a while ago when I was living with my dad for a while, and he moved to Florida with his new wife, and I moved to Andover and lived out there for a while before I moved to Stillwater. So a lot of the stuff that I did in, you know, like when you're in your 20s and you're going out and like partying a little bit more, I was mostly downtown Minneapolis, cause that's where I worked. And then, and you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago that if I would release a record or I would be doing what I'm doing now with music, I would have laughed because I would be like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And so, because I haven't been doing this very long. I mean, I've sung all my life, but so a lot of the live music stuff is all really new to me, and starting to get to know a lot of the local talent has been new to me as well. Really thankful for things like the Minnesota Music Showcase Songwriter Showcase that Nick Hensley does. And then for my songwriting challenge thing that I do through Facebook, because I've been able to meet a lot of local musicians, and that was just really unknown territory to me growing up. And even in my early adulthood, because I was working corporate and I built my career there. So, and then I just decided to do this. I don't know. I still work corporate, but yeah. So
I've known Hensley for a million years. I'm trying to even count how many years I've known that guy. And when he branched off and did the songwriter nights and stuff, I really think he did a huge service for the Twin Cities, and he stuck to it, and he's just helped out a lot of people's career. He's kind of one of the unsung heroes, I think, of the Twin Cities music scene. And he's been on the podcast before, but I'd love to chat with him more about that. So I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah, I usually do the one on Sunday nights. That's where I go regularly. Every once in a while, I'll hit the Wednesday night one, but I call it songwriting church because it's this opportunity to be inspired and hear other people and create community. I'm all about the community part of it and meeting people and encouraging other people and bringing together people who may not have met each other. If it wasn't for me being the extroverted person that I am and kind of introducing myself to people and then go, oh, have you met so-and-so and have you met so-and-so? And I do enjoy that aspect of the songwriter community. So
Who is one of your favorite songwriters in the Twin Cities music scene? That if they're there, Hensley's got one of those things going on, I'd be like, oh, I'm glad they're here. I like hearing their stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I do have to say she isn't writing as much or as often as I think I would love for her to do is Mary Cacciafello.
She's been on the podcast. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, people like Sarah Morris that I really do appreciate her songwriting, and Matthew French. I really like a lot of the stuff that he comes up with. Colin Bracewell, talented young kid from Stillwater. And now he's not a kid. I mean, he's younger than me. But I met him back when he was in high school, and he's really coming to his own. I really like a lot of the stuff that he writes. But yeah, there's, you know, it's really a hard one for me to say. There's this, and I'm going to forget her name that comes out to the showcase, and I'm totally blanking. I want to say Amy, but yeah, she writes some really great songs.
I want to tell you about one of my favorite bars on the Roseville/St. Paul, Minnesota area, the B-Dell Club, located in the corner of County Road B and Dale's. Motto is a place for family, a place for friends, a place for fun, and that is a stone cold truth. Looking forward to rocking this Thursday with Andy Crowley, the music director of the St. Paul Saints, and Brian Johnson. Of course, we'll do one more show after that, then take a little summer break, but things are great at the B-Dell. There'll be music every Thursday throughout the summer. Natalie Shelley, Dustin Tyre, bar staff, all state-of-the-art cocktail wizards. As of late, my libation of choice is a classic screw-up cocktail. There to quote 16-time world champion Ric Flair, taste a little devils. The new PDQ barbecue is an excellent addition to the BDC experience, and the food is award-winning. Live music, pool table, pull tabs, Tuesday Night Chess Society, bingo, meat raffle, bocce ball Thursdays, and much, much more. B-Dell's got it all. Stop by for a cold one. Now,
who's your least favorite?
Do you know, I think I would not pick somebody who is my least favorite.
I'm just joking.
Because that would be really mean, and that's not totally how I operate.
It'd be awesome for the show, though. Yeah, Hensley's my least favorite.
Yeah, Hensley, yeah, there we go. And he's such a good friend. I appreciate everything that, you know, he does to encourage. I mean, when I'm bringing out my keyboard, I'm usually swearing at him in my head because I'm like, oh, this is so much stuff. And he's the one who thinks that I should always bring my keyboard and the guitar with me. So I don't always, but I do try to do that more often than not now.
I just bought a brand new Hammond organ, like keyboard organ, that just came out in January, and I'm doing a bunch of stuff with that. What kind of keyboard do you have? So I'm kind of in the keyboard space in my head. I'm just curious.
Yeah. So I started, and I still have it because I use it in my studio, is the Yamaha MX-88. I felt like it felt like a piano. If I'm going to actually go and write, I'll be upstairs. I have a 1883 Steinway and Sons upright piano that's been totally refurbished about 5 years ago. And so I prefer the real thing over the keyboard, but we also know that the Yamaha MX-88 is really awkward for me to get out of the case and to move around. It's heavy. So I ended up getting this little Casio Previa that actually has, you know, the quarter inch plug-in, which not all the Casios do. So you have to make sure you get the right model. And I feel like there's a good resistance on the, you know, and it's small enough. I can actually wrap it in my arms and lift it up. And so, you know, it's the same thing with speakers. I went out and bought really nice QSC speakers, and they're like 40 pounds each. And I'm like, I'm too old for this crap. You know, it's like, I don't want to be lifting this stuff. It's not good for your back and stuff. Maybe if I had roadies. So then I went out and bought, you know, these plastic ones, you know, Harbinger or whatever, 2.0s or whatever. So when it comes to bringing stuff out, I prefer to bring light stuff when I'm doing solo shows. So the Casio works well. It's not perfect and it doesn't have tons of sounds to it, but for what I'm doing and using it for, it's perfect for, you know, that, because I'm going to be playing straight up, like supporting my music, just like I would do acoustic rhythm guitar, you know, so it's not like I'm doing all kinds of fancy piano playing. So
So how did you transition from your corporate life, whatever, it was at Andover, you said you moved to after Roseville, and then Stillwater?
Yeah.
How did you, you said that you never guessed you became a musician 10 years ago. Well, how did you?
So it's kind of a interesting story. I've done church music all my life. So my dad had me on stage when I was four, you know, up in front of church. So I, you know, that was a great part of my life. And I did a lot of choirs. That's very much disappearing out of the church today.
Hold on. Just satanic church?
Yeah, no. So no,
I just got to make it clear for the audience here.
Yeah, no. I grew up Baptist, you know, and then I went to an E3 church, and both churches that I went to were highly musical. So there was a lot of music, but that is kind of going away out of the churches today. Not the satanic ones. I don't know about them, but I did that all. And I just had a place. I came to a place with that where I was doing choirs and worship teams, and then I got kicked off a worship team. And I always say it was because he thought I sucked. And I think that was part of it. But, and I was just like, I didn't sing for a year. And so when I went back to it just because I missed my friends. And I, as I said before, I'm an extrovert. So like I the people are what I miss out of music when I'm away from it. And so I actually ended up having a friend telling me to pick up my guitar, which I hadn't done in years, and actually do a little amateur hour at the coffee shop in New Hope. And then which led to doing some farmer's market there in New Hope, as well as a vintage market just in Crystal. So I did that for like first year of it. And I would never tell people that, oh, this is a song I wrote. I would just like kind of sneak them into my playlist because I was mostly doing covers at that point. And then I started doing open mics. And in 2017, I went out to an open mic in Stillwater. And I thought it was going to be a one and done and I would never go back because it was, I mean, Andover to Stillwater is not like the most pleasant drive. And then if it's in the winter, if it snows, you're just really screwed. And so, however, I started making a bunch of friends in that circle, you know, that just really encouraged me to keep writing and to play what I wrote. And so I was starting to do more and more open mics. And I've only been really booking my own stuff for the last 2 years. So mostly just been playing out for the last 2 years, but I started like, it took me 3 years because of COVID to actually record my album. Just because of, you know, there was lots of stops and starts in that. And so that was like the thought that I would ever do that was never in any thinking. Now, did I wish I could? Yeah. I mean, cause I always sang, but I just never thought I would be doing any of this, like playing at a bar or a brewery or recording an album and writing music. And now I, you know, I just consistently write. So I am not in the everyday, write a song every day because I have a corporate job still, but I do every week try to write something, whether it is a good song or not is, you know, there's a lot of throwaways, but, you know, just to practice with that. I mean, I have a journalism and creative writing, you know, degree. So it comes really natural to me to make up songs and make up stories. So.
Very cool. Where did you track your album at?
So Wild Horse Recording in Stillwater. Daryl Bullock is the owner operator out of that. And, he's also co-produces with me. So we build that together because I come with, as he says, fully formed songs, and I have a lot of opinions about how I want stuff to sound. But he's really great at like making a lot of really great suggestions and integrating that because he does track all my percussion and drums. So if from that, you know, aspect of it, it's has been really fun to do that with him. So
that's great. So tell us about your new single, Let's Have Some Fun, coming out on April 19th.
Yeah. So I decided to be so 2024 and start releasing singles rather than doing an album. But no, this one was a song I wrote last summer as part of my singer-songwriter songwriting challenge on Facebook. And the word was stench. And part of it was just the idea of there's a lot of things in life that you kind of like know they're going to end badly and you're going to have to they're going to, they have an expiration date. And so that's how that song kind of came to be. It was the idea that, you know, some things are just done for fun and, you know, they're not going to last. And if you go in with that attitude, I think you have a better chance of not being destroyed by it, you know? So it was just this idea of, you know, this is going to be fun, you know? And so let's just have this fun song. And people seem to like it. They just, you know, yeah, we see people bopping their head and moving around and dancing a little bit when I do it. I do it acoustically, but with the single coming out, I decided not to play my guitar and actually have, I have Brad McLemore playing Telecaster on it. And he had played it at the showcase with me, and I immediately turned around and Nick Salisbury was sitting there grinning from ear to ear when we got done with that song. And I looked at Brad and I was just like, can you come and track this? Cause I'm headed to the studio, you know, we're starting off doing this. So I was able to have him do that. And then I ended up playing mostly keys on all of it. So I played the piano and I played the Hammond organ, and he has a vintage one, with the Leslie speaker.
No shit. I was able to, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's at the studio. So I was able to do that. And then he has a Rhodes as well. So I did the Rhodes organ as well. So I used all three. And then I have the wonderful Charlie Milkey, who has played bass probably on most of my stuff that I've recorded so far. And then Daryl tracks the drums and I do the plethora of harmonies. I think there was 18 vocal tracks on that particular song.
What? 18 vocal tracks?
Yeah, he always mics. When I do my main vocals, he mics me with two mics. And so there always is that aspect of two different mics picking me up. He separates out the tracks, but, you know, there was two, I added three-part harmony, including my vocals, to the verses, and three-part for the choruses, and for a lot of the oohs and ahs, we did that in four. And the bridge... the bridge has four part harmonies on it. So, and I do them all myself. We just track them and separately and then layer. And it's super fun. And it's always like, he's like, I wasn't planning on doing that. I didn't think there could be harmonies on this song. I just like, I don't know if I hear them yet. And he just made me do it all the way through, which I'm really happy for. But he would take and use what we wanted to use as far as we pulled some of the harmony out. But yeah, it turned out to be like 18 tracks. It was crazy.
Cool. So are you going to release singles like every few months, or what's your schedule going for working towards dropping the next record?
I haven't quite decided on a record per se, but I'm supposed to start this week. We'll see. It's spring break here in Stillwater. So a lot of his time is tied up with his three little kids, you know, so that since they're home, we're supposed to start this week or next week, we'll start on the next single, and it's going to be mostly keys and drums. It's not going to have as many players on it. It'll have harmonies and stuff. It's more of a ballad. So I'm hoping like a month to 6 weeks after the first drop, and try to kind of keep with that schedule, like trying to come out with something new in 4 to 6 weeks after the other one drops. So that's my hope. And then I also hope to record a Christmas EP, because I have a number of original Christmas songs because I love Christmas. So I have probably like six right now. I don't know if I'll use them all, but I would really like to do a Christmas EP for this fall. So
you should, while you're on a roll, you might as well. What's the name of your new song going to be called?
What was this next one?
Yeah.
Promises Unclaimed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I toyed with a lot of different names, but that one kind of fit the best. And so that's more about just finding solace someplace where you don't want a relationship, you just want solace. So, that one is, you know, total difference from the one. But I am trying to make my songs shorter. I think a lot of my songs on my album are anywhere closer to 5 minutes each. And this one, I've been trying to, like, Let's Have Some Fun is a typical 3-minute song. I think Promises Unclaimed is closer to 4, but trying to stay in that kind of terms writing that way. So make them a little more friendly.
Do you have a favorite beer that Blake puts together at Balsam Lake Brewery?
So I'm not a big beer drinker, but I love his seltzers.
Seltzers are good that he has. Yeah.
Yeah. His seltzers are good. Cause what I like is I've been to a lot of places that they pump in flavoring into their seltzer and that's how they get their flavors. And that I'm not as such a big fan of that. So Blake actually, you know, he brews them, you know? And so I really love the Manhattan. Wasn't it the Manhattan or no, is the Manhattan or the Old Fashioned? The Old Fashioned, I think. Do you remember the one with the cherry in it? I always get them mixed up. Yeah. So that one's really good. I just had the blackberry one when I was up there like a week ago.
Yeah, I had that too. One.
Yeah. So I was up there. They just did one, but they did one earlier, I think in January, where they had the Dallas House and they did like the beer food tasting together. And so I was playing that night. I didn't know that that was happening until I was like on my way there.
Typical Blaker. I know. By the way, this is going on. Yep.
Yeah. So, I went there and he did this one that was like a black or was the red velvet chocolate kind of brew that I don't know what it was. It was really good. And I tasted some of his. It was a lot of tasting. So I kind of didn't keep up with them all on that because I was playing, but and I tend not to drink very much when I'm playing, so just out of that's just how I operate. But I that one was pretty good. I just don't like the hoppy stuff, so I can pretty much do anything else, but so I like to try the different ones but not necessarily drink a whole glass of it.
Very cool. What's your social media stuff if people want to check out your new songs or follow where you're playing, that kind of stuff?
So pretty much if you just look at laurielofstrom.com, you'll get to my site. My Facebook one is Laurie Lofstrom Music. And my Instagram, I think if you just look up Laurie Lofstrom, you'll find me. I think it's like LLO. It's like my spelling. I had an Instagram account long before I did music and I just converted.
This has been the Minnesota Music Shakedown. If you'd like to toss a buck or two in the podcast tip jar, please go to patreon.com/MarkSterryMusic. If you like what I do, check out my website, MarkSterryMusic.com. For song or artist submissions, please email me at MarkSterryMusic@gmail.com or message me on social media. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time.
Just a little while longer.